are to start off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion.
Yeah. Blessed His name, His glorious name. He gives and takes away. Would anyone like to share a testimony of what God did for them this week or what He took away from them this week? Anybody?
I got one, but it's going to take me a minute.
Okay. I can fill in if you want while you're...
Go ahead.
Thanksgiving dinner, my mom said something incredible. A couple of years ago, we got a phone call that she was on her deathbed. She said, "You got to fly down, your mom's dying." That's a scare. When we got there, she's sitting up in bed all happy, and she says, "Oh, go to Disney, do whatever you want to do." But we didn't hear what happened from the time of the phone call until then. She went in for vacation, checked into the hotel room with my sister and my nephews, and she wasn't feeling well, and she said, "Go out, I'll be fine." And she wasn't. She was losing a lot of blood. It was internal bleeding. And my mom's very prideful, very strong, a New Yorker. I was talking to Emily about my aunt. My mom's the same way. I'm a New Yorker. I can handle all this. There was a knock on the door. It was a cleaning service at the hotel. And my mom said, "Go away. Are you okay?" "I'm fine, just slow this morning." A few minutes later, there was a knock on the door. Same woman. And, "Can I help you?" No. "Getting a little slow this morning." So the third time, my mom said the same thing, and the woman said, "Please, I need to clean the room. I won't bother you. Let me clean the bathroom, set up the beds. I will work around you, but I need to work." It was an excuse to get into the room. And her name is Susan, was the girl. And my mom said she's a big black woman, huge. And what did Susan do? Immediately walked right up to my mom, laid next to her, and my mom's in bed, and she says, "Oh, you know, our skin color is different." He said, "But the Lord Jesus Christ told me you're a good person, and I need to get you to a hospital." That's the first time in my memory my mom even mentioned the name Jesus. It's always the guy in the sky. God's looking after her. And that was confirmative of the sermon that's going to happen later, is that this woman who is doing her job, house cleaning, was persistent, but there was more. Because she acknowledged Jesus. As Jesus told me you're a good person and you need to go to the hospital. My mom could have passed away. She had such an internal bleeding issue going on. And it was her pride. She wouldn't come forward. She didn't want to do anything. And this woman carried her out of the hotel. And that violated all the hotel rules because liability, they could get hurt, you can get sued, you can do that. The woman only heard the message. Jesus said, "You're a good person and you need to go to the hospital. I need to get you to the hospital." So being attentive. So that was, we're thankful my mom was there for Thanksgiving. And we didn't hear this story. Now this is like 10 years old. Getting a phone call. And we didn't panic, you know. But being so close and having God send an angel in or someone who's attentive to do His will, not just doing your job, but being attentive. So that's our family testimony, that we had family versus thinking of having a remembrance service or just remembering what my mom was. But we're thankful that she is. And she. Well, hopefully that was, in her eyes, a glorification of Jesus. Yes, Tyler.
I'm ready. Yeah, microphone.
All right.
So, Tom, you can remind me of that scripture that says... When you come together with other believers, you're supposed to come together with.
It's good for the brethren to dwell in.
It's bring something, bring a verse, a scripture.
All right.
Song. Yeah, psalm, song. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I was reading in the last couple of days. I got this book. It's called look at that. Gosh, you are awesome.
I bring a mic stand.
Yeah. So, I was reading in this book that I got. It's called "Where to Find It in the Bible," and it cost $5. I was like, "Oh wow, $5!" So I bought this book, and I wasn't sure if it was like, you know, if it was doctrinally, you know, right and all that hogwash. And so I started reading in it, and it's real life examples and words that relate to like a concordance. It's like a concordance of those words with scripture references. So I'm reading, and let's see. I got a whole bunch out of it. So, okay, first one, 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, that's spelled out very clearly for you guys, for all of us, you know, because if you have Jesus inside of you, you've overcome the world. You don't have a problem with sickness and disease. You may think you do, but you have to believe that you don't, because Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for you in the sense that you have everything. He died as the sacrifice and gave you the victory. So, you know, I mean, if that's not clear enough, I don't know. Okay, another one. I don't have the scripture. No, I do. Okay, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So I was impressed, you know. I mean, that's Psalm, 139, 13-14. He says over and over again through the Bible that we are created so perfectly, just like fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, I've just been reading the Bible the last few days and just pouring over it, because it just goes on to say, like, we are created in Christ's image, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. What is this one? 1 John 5, verse 12. Who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's pretty spelled out pretty plainly. Okay, one more. Psalm 91, verse 11-12. And this is a pretty awesome verse, because for anybody that struggles with feelings like they're not protected, or they're you know, afraid, they're fearful, or anything like that, it just says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I think that's it's a favorite of ours. We pray that every morning, because it just says right there, you know, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's like if you're walking down the street, if you're driving your car, you know, that's anything. That protects you in every way, in all your ways. Okay, I'm not a preacher, so here you go.
You could have fooled me. You're working on it. At your own speed. Yep. And that's part of the testimonies. We edify the body, and also you get a chance. Tyler, you said
perfect word.
Perfect.
Of God,
yes. Right.
And perfect practice makes perfect.
Perfect. But you're perfectly formed, right? But this is so wonderful about coming to a body like this. It's intimate. You have freedom. And then if you could take this outside the church, that you have the intimacy with God at any time to call upon His name, to trust in Him, believe Him. This morning I said, okay, Lord, I've been praying, but your word says, test you. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm testing you this morning. And I laid down what I would like for Him to do. Because I've been releasing my faith in things that happened, but the word said, test. So we get an opportunity. So if we could receive, that's the word, receive this morning of the power and the might of Jesus Christ, believe upon it, then apply it. Not just here, in our work, in our community, our schools, in our lives. Okay. Any other testimonies?
I didn't know about anybody else. It seems like the older I get, the busier my life gets, and I always thought it'd be the other way around, and it just doesn't seem to work that way. But anyway, I just want to share my little notebook I take every morning when I go have coffee, and I read the scriptures, and every once in a while the Lord will give me something and I write it down. And this week, if I can find it, was in Ezra it says that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And that if we put him first in our life, that he'll even give us some of our wants. But he has to be first. It has to be God's way, not our way. Do you trust God as your protector? That's a big one. But the Bible tells us that the angels of God surround us. And I just think that's wonderful. You know that where I'm in my house by myself a lot of times, and you hear on the TV about the rising crime and break-ins and all of that, you know, God protects you. Even in the midst of it, somebody's in your house, walking in your house, and there when you come, God will protect you. However, he will protect you, no matter what. Do you trust God? Do we avoid the expense because we're just not sure he'll provide? If we have a need, and it's a genuine need, and we avoid that, buying that need because we just don't have the faith that God is going to take care of that need, you know, do we do that? I do. And it goes on to say, faith actually trusts him to do what he says he will do. Honor God with your faith, and he will honor your faith with himself. And that just really kind of shot out. And faith is just a confession of the Word of God. It's believing that what he says he's going to do in the Word, he will do. And so, you know, it's just, I think we all need to kind of remind ourselves every single day that God's Word is truth, that he does what he says he's going to do. And as hard as that can be, and you know, I struggle with it sometimes, you know, God, are you really going to do this? But I have to just stand on the Word sometimes and just believe in his time, it will happen. And then one other footnote, because there's always something that goes along with the faith, it says we cannot entertain elements of the kingdom of light and elements of the kingdom of darkness simultaneously and expect God to bear fruit in us. He wants purity. So as we walk with the Lord, we do the best we can. And the promises of God are ours. So that's kind of one of my Bible studies this week.
Welcome back. So the opening scripture this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, and it's on the board. It says, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burnt incense." My sons, it's a greeting. It doesn't just mean men, it means family, children. This verse came from King Hezekiah, which started a reform back in Jerusalem, because the Jewish people fell away from God. And with each succession of king, you would have a good king, then a bad king, and it was a series of bad kings, and Hezekiah had a revelation that the people of Israel needed to turn back to God. And this started a reform. He just wanted to let people know who they were. And he started off with, "My sons, we're in the family of Christ. Those who have Jesus in them are in the family of Christ. If you haven't accepted him, this is an invitation to know who he is. Not to shut up and close your mind and say, I'm not ready for this. It's just that if you're here and you're hearing the message, you hear it and it's great, because God wants to work on each of our lives to refine us. And he's, like the prayer was, to give us a new heart that we would return to him. And this is part of that message. Be not now, it's timely, now, negligent. And negligent, it's a kind of a unique word, because we all say negligent. You're lazy, you're slack. The word actually means gift. So how does that fit in there? How's a gift? How can you be a gift be negligent? But the other meaning is, it came from a Persian governor in Syria who opposed the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So the Bible, if you read the Bible as a series of words, that's what it is. But when you start layering the words on top of each other, it forms a different, not a different picture, but a deeper picture. It's not strictly literary. So negligent, all right? So there's a gift, but there is a force, a power, a principality opposing a rebuilding of Jerusalem. So I was thinking that Jesus has given us a gift. Negligent is an opposition to that. So here the king has Isaiah saying, my children, now don't be negligent. There's an opposition. Don't oppose the gift. Don't oppose the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. And I think our natural state, we would, because it doesn't fit in what we want to do. Encouraging. For the Lord has chosen you. Last week, I think, at the Bible study, we talked about end times and things like that, and how we shouldn't make, or should, we're not authorized to make judgment calls about people, because we don't know the whole stories between that person and God, and the angels separate the tares from the wheat at the end times. Know that the Lord has chosen you. I hated playing baseball, to be waited to be picked last, to be on a team, or next to last, or get picked and they traded me for a girl. I was 6'4" back in school and maybe 80 pounds, a gawking, geeky guy. And I wanted to be chosen. And here, God has already chosen us. And I know so many times Rick, can't I once be on a winning team? You know? And he said, you are. You're in Christ's team. You're a winner. You're a winner. No matter what the world would tell you, you're a winner because Christ is in you. And that changes the whole perspective. We didn't come to Christ. We may think we came to Christ because, you know, I was so broken and everything else was garbage in my life and I came to Christ. No, he chose you. He chose you. And when you finally responded, he welcomed you with open arms. He's not begrudging you. He didn't trade me for another girl to switch me on a outfield position on the baseball team. But he chose. He picked. He looked over, and he picked you. You, me, Carol, children. He picked them. To stand before him. Understanding, but before in this case means in his presence. So he didn't just send you to stand in a corner. To stand in his presence. And what are we to do? To serve him. Minister to him. And as a body, how do we serve? We were talking about our bodies being bruised and things like that. We serve with our hands. We reach out to a dying world. We reach out to people who don't know Jesus or tell you to your face, we don't want to hear what you have. We pick them up when we're allowed to. We hold them. Wrap our arms around them, and then when it comes time, we release them. We don't take possession of them. We gladly enter them, allow them to come into our lives, just as we went to Jesus. Carol, if you can clear that, just leave this, yeah, put it on clear. And that's the reason why the hand is sticking out. Freely receive Jesus, and then also you freely give them out. And that's how we serve the Lord. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said yes. And he said, then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And Jesus said, I give you 2 commandments. Love God the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And love each other as I loved you. And what did Jesus do? He extended his hand, but he fed the apostles. He fed the disciples. He gave them the word. He did miracles. He didn't just do the miracles, because miracles, so you healed. Okay, that's great. But the word and the belief that you have, the faith that you have, that you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you have eternal life, that's how he was feeding the people. That's how you love people. Try not to love people by putting the church in the mix, saying, you got to go to my church, you can't worship here, you got to do this, you got to do that, you do that. And it feels like in the spirit of oppression. And I don't like that. And that's not biblical. Jesus is alive. He's love. And when you have that, you bubble up. You bubble up. Oh, Carol, can you put the scriptures back up? And the last one was burning incense. And that's usually a sacrifice of praise and worship. And that's why praise and worship is so important. It sets the atmosphere. It sets a tone. We just remember that. We're his children. that he chose us to stand in his presence, and being in the presence of God is wonderful. It's the world, and the enemy doesn't want us there because there's such a communion between God and us, and at those times that he imparts so much, it's usually not verbal, it's just spirit to spirit, that he just fills you with knowledge of who he is and what he wants you to do. And it's usually to minister unto people who know him for encouragement, for those very people that we don't even know, that don't even know Jesus, simple thing is sharing a word like good morning or coming with a smile. And at work, I'm at a place where I wanted to be for a long time, and they said, well, can't hire you. And then it was like, oh. Then I said, that's okay. I said, God has me here. And that's how this whole thing started, because I had the opportunity to share Jesus about India, which perked this man's interest, and now I'm in his office. And we spend more time talking how God's working that most people be asking for a job, most people be asking for money. And I said, I've done that, did that already. And I screwed up. I said, I'm just waiting for God to open up the doors for me. And I said, if it's not here, what's ever happening now, it will happen. And it's so contrary to how the business world and real world acts, is that they're in amazement. So my testimony where I am now is not that I'm trying to get ahead, because I already am ahead, because I'm on Jesus' team. It's just utilizing the gifts that he's given me, seeking him out. I'm not being negligent. I'm searching the Lord. I'm using what he's given me. And that's an amazing thing. Things that are rusty, he's honed back, that I can use. Things that I forgot or didn't think there was a need for, he's pulled into remembrance. And not only just pulled into remembrance, they're being utilized. But not being negligent about putting work above ministry. And I just have to be reminded of that. It's ministry that he has me in. No matter who he has me meet here in the building, outside the building, it's ministry. If Jesus is the first, it's obvious. It's obvious. So as a closing prayer and an introduction back to the praise team, is that this is an opportunity. We heard the testimony so far this morning of what God has done in our lives. Now this is an opportunity for us individually to give him thanks and praise and worship. So I'm going to offer the sacrifice and praise of worship. Thank you.
Thank you.
always been you, here, and now. God is a God of now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Don't have to clean ourselves up. It's now. Before I go, would you like to share your testimony of what happened? Sue? Oh, yeah. Without the microphone.
Yes, without the microphone. Before everything went on today, I actually tried to stifle a sneeze so it wouldn't interrupt the service. And in the process, I ended up with a bloody nose. Went downstairs to take care of it, and it had already stopped. So the Lord was looking after me so that I didn't bleed out or something.
The word that was been going around all this morning, but it's been confirmation, is how do these things happen? How does God work through us? How do we do these things? And it's always been the focus. We put him in the center. We look for him. We thank him. We praise him. We seek him out. And the other word I got, because I've been more in tune now with what the Lord says, and sometimes I say, well, what's he not saying? What's the other side of that? Not to go down a sidetrack, but he's telling me, if you want to know more about me, focus upon me. And sometimes I have a hard time to say, well, what can I do? What does that mean, Lord? So, Carol, can you pull up that gray screen? And sometimes I can't hear the Lord is because... Nope, the gray one. The one that says preoccupied. Yep. I'm preoccupied. How can I not hear the Lord? And it's preoccupied. It's not a distraction. It's that I'm absorbed. And then the difference comes in when I'm preoccupied, where's the focus? Where's the center? It's on me. It's nowhere else. It's totally 100% on me. It may not start that way. It may just start with a thought, 2 + 2 = 4. Am I going to get the pay raise? Are we going to go on vacation? Are we going to stand in line for Black Friday to get that LCD TV? And when that starts happening, I don't hear the Lord anymore. I'm focused on me, and it becomes selfish. And I don't think it is, but it is. In the mornings, I do a prayer walk. Lord says, go. And I go, okay, Lord. And it starts at 6 o'clock because that's the start of the Jewish day. And why do I do that? Because the scripture says his mercies are renewed each and every morning. And if you want to know why I'm charged up every morning, it's because of that scripture. I wake up thanking the Lord. All the sins I did, he took them and threw them in the sea of forgetfulness. David said, my sins are forever before me because I openly sinned before you, Lord. And that's where I am in the flesh sometimes. How can you forgive me? But then I go back to what God says. My mercies are renewed each and every morning. So that gets me going. I said, thank you, Lord. Not that I want to continue to sin, but when I do, I fall short. He's already forgiven me. Has forgotten about it. So I'm charged up. Takes the focus off of me. Look what I did, Lord. To look upon him, he forgave me. So when I do my walks, I said, Lord, show me, show me, show me. And I'm outside myself. I'm not distracted. In fact, I've seemed to be more alert than what the Lord wants me to do and hear. And what's been happening is I go to a street corner and there's a pickup truck, and the girl is looking that way. I'm coming from this side, and I get almost past the front of her car, and the Holy Spirit says, turn around. Like in 5 steps, I could be across the street. I said, okay, I heard that. I'm going to respond. It didn't make any sense. So I step back, and the girl punches it, drives over the curb, and hits me, and grazes me. And I get mad, and I slam the car with my hand, and she screams, what are you doing? I said, you just ran me over. That was the beginning of this teaching on preoccupied. She was so preoccupied where she was going, looking that there were no cars coming this way, she didn't look over here where I was. So that was a wake-up call for me, is that I need to be observant. A week later, a brand new car goes by on the other side of town. I'm still doing a different prayer walk, and all of a sudden the Spirit says, pray for that woman, pray for that woman, pray for that car, pray, pray, pray. I don't know what to pray for, so I start praying in tongues. I don't know what to pray for. What are you giving me this prompting to pray? So just pray, and I did. Did I feel foolish? Yep. Because I don't know what I'm praying for, but I knew I had to pray. That same pickup truck was on a different corner, waited till this car came into the intersection, cut them off. That car hit the curb, had an accident. The pickup truck stopped, and you could see the person looking, then took off, left the scene of the accident. Preoccupied, number two. Number three, last week, going to this job, I'm at the corporate headquarters. The night before, the Holy Spirit says, you are to stop at Temple Mountain, get out of the car, take a picture. Well, I'm late, and I'm cruising down the road, and I'm a half hour away from Temple Mountain, 15 minutes away from Temple Mountain, and I said, I'm not stopping, Lord. I've got to get to work. I come up Temple Mountain, and I'm getting convicted. So I pull over in the rest area, and the sun is coming up. I got took pictures of the sunrise, and there's two rocks, and there's a white birch tree right in the middle, so I took a picture. I said, it's beautiful, the sun coming up. This is great, Lord, this is great. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, I still don't know what this is about. Come down the hill, looks like a deer running in front of a car. That car went into the trees. They closed the road. The time it took for me to pull over to the side of the road, take the photographs, stretch my legs, get back in the car, was the estimated time when this accident happened. If I was preoccupied on my work, I might have been in that accident. I might have hit my car. So what preoccupied does, it's the more you get preoccupied and think, the less and less and less you hear or being observant of what's going around you, but with the Word of God. So that's what the Lord was showing me. And I said, well, because I was asking him, how can I be more attentive? And the answer is, focus on me. Okay, you can go back to that scripture, Carol, Matthew 14 verses, I think it's 15. Rick has done this teaching several times, and every time he's done it, it just, I'm more intrigued about it. This is when John the Baptist was martyred, and Jesus performed perhaps the greatest miracle besides being resurrected. He fed the 5,000 with no food. Here is a friend died, buried him. Could he or us be preoccupied by that? Jesus, the scripture say he went into the desert to go pray. He knew he had to pray. And then he saw the people, and he had compassion and prayed for him. All day long, there were healings. He was teaching. He was praying for the people. He was focused on the will of God the Father. That's what happened. He wasn't preoccupied about the number of people. He wasn't preoccupied what time it was. He was only being in conjunction with the Lord, with God. And usually I don't do commentaries, but our library out back is phenomenal. If you want a deeper study with the Lord, I know people watching TV, doing Bible studies, doing fellowship, but if you ever have a gander back there and seen some of these books, and this is by a man from New York, John Wright Follett, it's called Fruit of the Land, and he did a Bible study on Matthew 14, 15. So I'm going to read part of it. It said, Jesus was such moved by the news and desired to be alone, so he withdrew to a quiet, secluded place for meditation, prayer, and refreshment. That's part of prayer, is refreshing. Meditate, but refreshed. But there seemed to be no opportunity for rest. The multitude was a great one, was needy, so they followed him. They came on foot. And the footnote was before him. They were going to where Jesus was before he even got there. That's how great this multitude was. They knew where he was going. They said, when a need is desperate enough, will you seek him? Will you seek Christ out and find him? Faith persists and will not be denied. Faith goes by foot, by land, and even to the desert. If only faith shall find Christ and lay the need before him. If you ever have a need, would you actually enter a desert spot? If you're that desperate to find an answer in your life, and you're seeking Christ, would you not go into an unfriendly area? Would you go, perhaps a church, being unfriendly if you're not saved, right? A Bible study, a meeting. But here are people looking for Christ to hear his message, and they went into the desert. And he, like I said, he healed the whole day long. And what happened in the natural, which just really didn't make sense for the first time, there was a scripture saying God doesn't know that he doesn't differentiate light from night. Light from night. It's the same to him. And I still don't fully understand that. But here, it starts to get dusk, and the disciples tell Jesus to send the people away. The sea is getting, people get hungry. So this teaching says, first Jesus heals. After Jesus heals you, he's not going to let you go hungry. He's not going to let you starve physically. You've been healed, refreshed spiritually. He's not going to let you die. Now, what's the purpose? The purpose is to show his glory. So he did the healing, did the teaching, and now he's going to refresh the people. The apostles, much like me, perhaps us in the room, is that we're looking at the natural. It's turning nighttime, Lord. Send them home. And this teaching says, in the natural, we do that. But we miss having Christ in the picture. Christ changes everything. He changes time, seasons, dates, everything. Nothing's impossible with Christ. So while the disciples were saying, send the people away because we don't have food, and they profess that in John, that we have 200 pence, it's not enough for everybody, they might get a little. Jesus is not in the business to give anyone a little. He wants to make it all available. And it's on faith. If you believe that this is for you, the promises and provisions in the scriptures are for you, and you have faith in it and claim it, it's yours. If you're going with a double mind, disbelief, unbelief, and ask for it, it's not going to happen. So, knowing, and this is not a bad thing that the apostles said, they just said, we have no food. It's getting nighttime. And Jesus said, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. When we're in the presence of God, why would we want to leave? The natural world will tell us to leave. It's getting dark. And that's what the apostles were facing. They're facing the natural. It's dark. We have no food. In the next... All right, so give them to eat. Then the next thing Jesus said, it says, Bring them hither to me. Bring the food. Bring the fish and the bread. And Jesus prayed over it. And it multiplied. It fed everybody. But during this, he didn't go into any explanation. The apostles, listen. You don't have to leave me. You don't have to leave my presence. Give me the fish. Give me the bread. Then he broke the fish. When we come to Christ, we want to be fed, he breaks us. And I think it's on the flesh side, that is the hardest thing. He wants to break us of our pride, our intelligence, our intellect, our feeling. He wants to use us. If we're telling him, I'm not going there, I can't forgive, there's no way, God, he wants to break us. And he's not breaking us because we sinned. He's not holding a grudge over us. He wants to break us so he can use us. And for me, every time he chastises me, I think he's picking on me. I don't like this, Lord. But he's reminding me, I cannot fulfill his service, what he wants me to do. I can't fulfill what God wants to do in my life as long as I cling on to Tom and what I believe is right and wrong. He wants to break me of that. Now, if I'm preoccupied, I'm not listening to him, and I don't want to listen. But I'm listening, and he tells me this thing that I don't want to hear. I can get preoccupied again, like justifying what I'm doing is right, and it's not. But after he broke the bread and broke the fish, and he's trying to break us, what does he do with that? Gives it back.
feed. So he takes us, breaks us, and we can spend our whole life fighting him and say, he ain't going to do that. Or come to the acknowledgement that what he's doing is for my good, because I'm becoming the will of the Father, and surrender to him, which is the hardest thing. But then he takes our life, our new life, so we can feed others. Not that we become mindless zombies with all these TV shows, The Walking Dead and all that crazy stuff. He breaks us so he can impart himself further into us, and that we stay focused on him and do the will of the Father, not the will of Tom, not the will of Carol or Rick or Faith. It's his will. And like I said, when Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And that's what happened. 5,000 people were fed on what we see as nothing. A couple baskets of bread and fish. You're looking at that. So, this morning, preoccupied was the word. Lord, that seems like a negative word, but on Rick's podium and on the floor was this thing of a TV marquee movie saying, now showing 2. So how does this fit in with being preoccupied? And it says, too young to think about God, too busy to think about God, too happy to think about God, too tired to think about God, too smart to think about God, too late, and it's a tombstone, to think about God.
Yeah. That's a little late.
So, the prayer coming into the building this morning, like, if there's anything that would cause us to be distracted or preoccupied about not hearing the word, we ask the Lord to take it away as you came through the threshold this morning. That there's no hindrances. In the scripture this morning, that God said, I'll give them a new heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my children. And I will be their God as they return to me with their whole heart. And each song today talked about the whole heart. Having the heart of worship, coming unto the Lord. And can we just pray blessings upon you before as you leave?
And
yes, and bless those people that you'll be ministering to later this afternoon. And Lord, just grant us strength and peace of mind and comfort during this season. So, well, I would like to end with a closing prayer about not being preoccupied. Preoccupied means that you're in use, that you can't be used elsewhere. So, Father God, we just thank you that we have a heart to hear you today, Lord, that you drew us in. And, Lord, just that we ask that for the testimonies this morning, the report of the healing this morning, Lord, that when we hear your voice, we are not preoccupied with so many other things that we don't want to hear it and act upon. Your word says not to only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So, Lord, I just thank you that for every person that hears this, here and on the tape and CD and on the internet, because your word does not return to your void, that they follow the prompting of your Holy Spirit to do, that they are no longer preoccupied with anything else but you. And the closer we draw into you, Lord, you reveal much to you. Just when we're preoccupied, it seems like everything comes in and we shut everything else, Lord. But when we focus on you, we're not preoccupied. You thrive. You give us so much more of yourself. Lord, that is like, it is supernatural, but we're aware. We're aware of your will. And when we surrender our wills to yours and you break our own will, Lord, you just show us it's your power, it's your strength through us that your will be accomplished. Father God, I thank you that you gave us serving hands. Not self-serving hands, but hands that reach out to brothers and sisters and people.
people that we don't know. Not because it's just the right thing to do. It's that you've given us your heart. A heart of compassion. We may not understand all the woes and the troubles that people go through, or how they even got there, or why they're there, or why they even want to stay there. Well, that answer is because they don't know you. And the very thing that they can perhaps hope for, that we hope for, is found in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you for our hands, and thank you for your heart in us, that we reach out, that we don't pull back because it's uncomfortable or we might get dirty. Lord, you lifted us out of our miry pit. You lifted each and every person here out of something that's unspeakable, that we want to hide in the back of our minds and to never bring it up. But it's brought up, and we don't know how to deal with it. And you brought it to the cross, and you took it. So that sting, that pain, the embarrassment doesn't have to rule us anymore. Your works as if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old man has passed away. All things are new. We each have a new life. And that new life is in Jesus. And Lord, when people would line up for hours and days, perhaps weeks, for some people, camping out for a sale at a department store. Like pastors and Bible studies and people who are in love with you want to share Jesus, and it seems like we go, no one goes. That's not a bargain. That's not a steal. It's not worth their time. Lord, I pray that you give them a new heart to know you. And Father, what a wonderful gift that is for Christmas. Giving the world a heart to know you, that they will return to you. Father God, this time for our body here, if you require prayer or want prayer, please just come up or see your name.